Let us just go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as God's word is taught. The truth of God's word is taught with clarity and precision and accuracy. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. There's utterance boldness to proclaim God's word this evening. We declare and decree boldly that at the end of today's meeting, we are edified as saints and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. We'll just continue along the lines in which we started a few months back, a few weeks back on last month, beginning of last month. We're dealing with concerning spirituals. If you're with the Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now look at what Paul says there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Yeah, the word there, gift, is in italics. If you would see that, you see that the word gift is in italics, means it's in a different font. So now concerning spiritual gifts, so more like Paul is saying, now concerning spiritual brethren, or spirituals rather, I would not have you ignorant. Yeah, the word there, spiritual, is the word, Greek word pneumatikos, got it from two Greek words, pneuma and tikos. Yeah, pneuma has to do with the spirit and tikos has to do with the things of the spirit. So now concerning the things of the spirit, brethren, I would not have you what? Ignorant. Yeah. Now remember, the believer has received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. The believer has received that which God gives. Yeah. If you can go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or chapter 2 rather. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. Look at what it says. It says verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, that's the scriptures, I had not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it come into the hearts of men, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? And so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Yeah, so that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Yeah, so Paul tells you, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says, we have received. Yeah, so a man who believes the gospel is one who has received. Look at John 3:16 quickly. John chapter 3 verse 16. Look at what John says. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Yeah, the everlasting life that we receive is the Spirit of God in us. Yeah, so whosoever believes shall not what? Perish. Look at Mark 16. Look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 15. You know, "And Jesus said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So there is a message, or there is a message to be preached. He that believeth, that is, or he that believeth and is baptized. The word there, baptized, is the word there, you know, that means to be a member or to partake or to be identified with. Yeah. So he that is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Yeah. Why should these signs follow? Because they have been baptized. They are saved. Yeah. To be saved means to receive the Spirit of God. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes him, yeah, shall not perish but have everlasting life." That is, shall not perish but have everlasting spirit, God's eternal spirit. Yeah. So, "And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Yeah. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover." Emphasis is on verse 17. It says, "This sign shall follow them that believe." So a good way to say that is, this sign shall follow them that are saved. A good way to say that is, this sign shall follow them that are baptized. And it says, in my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. So first of all, as saints, we are to accept and agree with God that tongues is a language we have received. Tongues is a sign, or tongues is an ability that we've received because we believe the gospel. Are we together? So it says, he that believeth, these signs shall follow. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. So Paul now tells them, go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Quickly, 1 Corinthians 12. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 1 again. It says, now concerning the things of the Spirit. So the believer is one who has believed the gospel. The believer is one who has been baptized in the name. So the believer is one who has the Spirit of God. So Paul now says, now concerning, I have not seen, ears has not heard, but now we have received the Spirit of God. Paul now says, now concerning the things of the Spirit. Let me say it better. Now concerning the things of that Spirit which we have received. Paul says, concerning the spirituals, or concerning spirituals, I would not have you what? Ignorant. I would not have you what? Ignorant. He now says, you know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto this done by idols, even as ye were led, wherefore I give you to understand that no man sick by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is loved by the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Look at verse 5. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Verse 6. There are diversities of operations, but the same Lord, but the same God, which worketh all in all. Hallelujah. You see, the word that diversity is the word that speaks more of a same family, or the same family. Look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. See, the word of diversity, it speaks of, it could speak of, speak of division particularly, but the attention in that verse or in those verses that by Paul is what? On the same. So it's more like to cut the same thing into parts. That's the word diversity. That which is a whole, but is cut into parts. So the gifts of the Spirit, or the Spirit itself as a whole, has some divisions, but it is part of a whole. So it means that if you can find yourself operating in one, or if you can find yourself operating any of the gifts, it means that since you have the same Spirit, you have the ability of the remaining gifts. So if you can find yourself speaking tongues, it means that in the same Spirit, you have interpretation. So all the gifts are in the same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Some people will have questions. Why is it that pastor is paying attention to tongues and interpretation as a doctrine and all of that? But the truth is that, like Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles, he gave some apostles, prophets, pastoring, teachers, evangelists, and all of that. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. So the goal is to make sure that the saints are what? Strengthened. The goal is to make sure that the saints are able to teach that which they are taught. The truth is that as saints, we are to be able to communicate in doctrine, or communicate the doctrine that we believe. We are to be able to stand firm for the doctrine that we stand for. Look at 1 Timothy 2:2 quickly. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Did I say 1 Timothy, right? I think 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Look at 2 Timothy 2, 2, quickly. He says, look at what Paul says, and the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So we are to be able to pass and to communicate the things that we know. So why do we have a local church? Why do we attend a local church? It's so that we are able to receive in better communication the things that we believe, or better understanding about the things we believe. You see, there sometimes you hear some people say certain things and it brings more clarity to that which you already know. Yeah. So the reason for giving ourselves to sound doctrine is so that an average saint or an average saint who speaks in tongues can explain the doctrine behind tongues, can explain how tongues has been something promised by the prophet or through the mouth promised by God through the mouth of the prophet. Yeah. So go back to 1 Corinthians now. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So Paul says, there are diversities of operation. So look at it. A lot of saints only operate with tongues. Yeah. A lot of saints for the past 50, 20 years of their Christian life, all they know about the gifts of the Spirit is tongues. In fact, a lot of people believe that the only gift of the Spirit or the only gift of that Spirit which they received upon the resurrection is what? Tongues. Yeah. But Paul is now telling you there are diversities. Yeah. There are different portions of a whole, that whole. Yeah. There are diversities, but it is the same God, the same Lord. In verse 8, it now says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So Paul never takes your attention, or Paul never wants you to take your attention off the word some. Let me say that better. Paul doesn't want any of us to take our attention, or did he want them in Corinth to take their attention off the word same? Yeah, the same. So he says there are diversities of gifts, the same Spirit, differences, the same Lord, diversities of operations, but the same God. He now says what? For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same. Yeah, to another faith by the same, to another gift of healing by the same, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of gifts, yeah, to another interpretation of tongues. Yeah, you see in verse 10. The word diverse is in italic, so it means that it wasn't there in the original manuscript. Yeah, it wasn't there in the original manuscript. So it means that a good way to do that would be to another, discerning of spirits, and to another, a kind of tongues or kinds of tongues. Yeah, in fact, when you now say kind of tongues, a lot of people teach that to mean to what Paul will later call in chapter 13 and say tongues of angels and tongues of all of those things. No, those are figures of speech. Yeah, what he's really saying is that to another is tongues and to another is interpretation of tongues. Now, we've paid attention to the word for to one in verse 8. Yeah, that word for to one is a word that actually is similar to the word in Ephesians, or is the same word rather, in Ephesians 4:11, when it says that he gave some apostles. Yeah, if you're not careful, you will think he's talking about some people. You will think he's talking about, you know, different parts and portions, or different people. Yeah, but to one, that word is the word men in the Greek manuscript, and it's a word that means certainly or truly or indeed. So for he that ascended is the same God that ascended, you know, and for he gave certainly apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Yeah, in 1 Corinthians 12, it is for he gave certainly, yeah, by the us to all, for certainly is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So what the Spirit, there's something certain, or there's a gift that is certainly given, or there are gifts rather that are certainly given by the Spirit. So he says, for certainly is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Yeah, the word there too, before the another, doesn't have a Greek translation in the Greek manuscript. Yeah, so it is another word of knowledge. What is another? Is he another person or another gift? It is another gift, because he told you that all of them are responsible, or the manifestation of all of the Spirit is given to every. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7 again. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Yeah, every man there will be in context of every believer. Yeah, the saints. Yeah, so it is given to every saint to profit without. So certainly by the Spirit is given the word of wisdom. Another gift is the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Yeah, another is faith by the same Spirit. Another is the gift of healing by the same Spirit. Another is the working of miracles. To another will not be. Another is what? Prophecy. To another is discerning of spirits. To another, tongues. To another, or another is interpretation of tongues. Now see verse 11. But all this worketh, what is all this? That is all the nine gifts mentioned above. Yeah? So when it says all this worketh, that one and the self same Spirit. So verse 4, same. Verse 5, same. Verse 6, same. Verse 7, same. Verse 8, same. Verse 9, same. Verse 10, same. Verse 11, same. Yeah? But all this worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every believer, Yes, severally as wills. He said that the word there as he wills, the word there he wills is a single word. Bulamai, bulumai, or bulamai, something like that. B-O-U-L-O-M-A-I. What does it really mean? It just really means what? When one is willingly deliberate. So the word he is not a different word from the word will. It is a combined word. He will is a single word. Yeah, it means to will deliberately. To will deliberately. So the man is to will. How do we know? Go to 1 Corinthians 14 quickly. How do we know it is the man that is to will, not the spirit that wills and gives? Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Just two chapters after. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye what? Prophesied. That ye speak and ye prophesied. Yeah, greater is he that prophesies. Yeah, not greater is he that the Spirit gives his prophecy. No, no, no. Greater is he that prophesies. So how does a man prophesy? A man prophesies when he willfully and deliberately decides to. Yeah, so he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he what? Interpret. He, look at verse 6. Now therefore, if I, Paul now says I, if I come unto you speaking, what shall I? Except I shall speak or by knowledge. Yeah, look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. For if I pray in tongues, yeah, my spirit, if I, look at verse 15. He says, what is it then? I will. So the man which is full of the spirit is the one that is to will. He is the one that has the willingness or that should be willing deliberately just for him to flow in the gifts of the spirit. Yeah. So like I gave an example. Yeah. What light is supplied to your house, but that doesn't mean that there will be light in your house. Yeah. You need to what? Willfully stand up for where you are and go towards. Okay. So you have to willfully stand up and willfully head towards the direction of the switch and willfully put on the switch. Yeah, that's the function of the believer in the things of the spirit. The believer is to be willing, is to give himself, to give expression to his willpower. Yeah, so that what? There is a flow. So that there is a flow of that which the spirit already wants to give. Yeah, the spirit is already willing to flow. Yeah, but the believer is in the, or has the custody. Let me say it this way. The believer is the custodian of the manifestation of the things of the spirit. Yeah, Paul will tell you, if I will. Look at 39. Look at verse 39. The same 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 39. Look at verse 39. He says what? Wherefore, brethren, covet. Covet. The word there, covet, is the word zelo. Yeah, from the word where you have zealous, enthusiastic about something. Yeah, he says, covet to prophesy, desire to prophesy, be willing to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Verse 40 now tells you where Paul is going to. Let all things be done decently and in order. So go back to 1 Corinthians 12 quickly. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we are. Verse 11. He now says, but all this, that is all these nine gifts, worketh or are functional or they are part of the gift, like we said already, worketh that one and the self same spirit, dividing to every man as he what? Wills. Dividing to every man as he what? As he wills. Hallelujah. So, as saints, we must be able to know that we are to give ourselves yet more and more to the things that God has put in us by His Spirit. Yeah, there are things or there are manifestations of the Spirit that we've received upon believing the gospel. Yet, we are the ones that are to be willing and deliberate about allowing that to flow. Now, let's say a few things that Paul talked about in verse 12. See verse 12. Yeah, Paul begins to use imagery to communicate the same truth. Look at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, yeah, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one. So also is Christ. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Yeah, same truth. Yeah, whether ye be Jew, or we be Jew, or Jew, or Gentiles. Whether we be bond or free. The same thing Paul taught in Galatians. There's neither male, neither female, neither Jew, neither Greek. Yeah, he says, whether we be bond or free. And we have all been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. See that? Yeah. So the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit are different, but it's the same one Spirit, the same one body, the same one Spirit. So if the foot shall say, because I am not in the hand, I am not in the body, is it therefore not of the body? Yeah. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is it not therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now had God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him. That's the gifts of the Spirit. And if they were all one member, where the body? Verse 20. But now are there many members, yet one body. See, look at it. Paul's way of writing is interesting. In the first few verses of chapter 12, he says the same. He says the same. He says the same. He says the same. He says the self same. Now, he now started using imagery of the body. He now started speaking about one body, different members, one body, different members. How did he teach it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11? One Spirit, different manifestation. What is he teaching again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 downwards? One body, different members. So, one body, different members in verse 12 downwards is equal to one Spirit, different manifestation in verse 1 to 11. I hope you're following. Yeah? So, look at verse 20 again. But now, are there many members, yet but one body? And the eyes cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. What is he saying? Yeah, when you have tongues, you cannot say, tongues cannot say in and out of itself, it doesn't have need of interpretation. Yeah, interpretation cannot say in and out of itself, it doesn't have need of what? Workings of miracles. Look at it again. Yeah, look at verse 14 again. For the body is not one member, but many. Yeah, look at verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? Necessary. Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, yeah, upon this we bestow more abundant honor. What is he saying? That which you think is less honorable, actually, these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Yeah, for our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which was with, to that part which lacked. Now, that there should be no schism in the body. That there should be what? No schism. The word there schism is just a division. Yeah? But that the members should have the same care one for another. One for another. Yeah? And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Yeah? Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now, and God had set in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Hold on. Remember we said something from Ephesians chapter 4, that which God gives as ministry gifts is something he truly gives, is something he certainly gives, is something he gives indeed. Yeah? So, look at verse 29. It says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. He now says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Hold on. Let's look at verse 29 again. If you have a good Bible in verse 29, you'll see that the words are before all, they're in italics. So, it means that they were not original or they don't have a transcription in the Greek manuscripts. Look at it again. He says, are all apostles, so really more like all apostles, all prophets, all teachers, taken of something very, very important. Remember in verse 14, he tells us that for the body is not one member, but many. Yeah, so one member is not the whole body. He has told us in verse 14 already. You get that? Let me say this way. One gift of the Spirit is not the whole gift of the Spirit. Yeah, so tongues is not the only gift of the Spirit. Yeah, you cannot say you operate in tongues and say by doing that you operate in all the gifts of the Spirit. No, tongues is just a member of the things or that which the Spirit gives or the manifestations of the Spirit. So it is one member. So one member is not the whole. So the same thing is one gift is not the entire gift of the Spirit. So the same, what Paul is teaching in verse 29 is that all ministry gifts is not the entire ministry gift. One ministry gift is not the entire ministry gift. One gift of the Spirit is not the entire gift of the Spirit. Yeah. So Paul is not teaching that there are some people that are precluded into being apostles and all those things. Rather, it is the diversities that we are being, or that were being emphasized by Paul. Yeah. The diversities, the different members, which is what you call different manifestations or different operations, is the emphasis of 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah. The things of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So all are for a corporate use. So in as much as there is, your body has a hand, it has an eye, it has ears, it has everything, you are to holistically look at all of those individual members as a whole body. Yeah, it is so. It means that the gifts of the Spirit are to be corporately used. Yeah, all are for corporate use. He tells you, he told us in verse 14, he says, for the body is not one member, but many. All together. Yeah, so what has Paul told us in verse 15? In verse 15 and 27, he has told us that what? God has worked diversities into the things of the Spirit. So there are diverse things. There are diverse things of the Spirit that are found in the Spirit. There are diversities into the things of the Spirit. Now look at verse 28 again. He says, God has set in the church first apostles, second prophets. Right? Right? So first apostles, second prophets. Yes. Thirdly teachers. Yeah. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, then helps, then government, then diversities of tongues. Are we together? Look at that again. Look at verse 29 now. He now asks a rhetorical question. All apostles. So when you now read your Bible and see, are all apostles? It's a rhetorical question. What he's really asking is, are all the ministry gifts apostles? Are all the ministry offices apostles? Are all the ministry gift tongues? Are all the gifts of the Spirit workers of miracles? This is that word. Now, if you look at verse 28 very well, you see the list in this way. It says, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, government, diversity of tongues. If you look at verse 29 and 30, it is apostles, the same thing, prophet, the same thing, teachers, the same thing, workers of miracles, the same thing, gifts of healing, the same thing. Yeah, what did he now say? He now says, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Yeah, it is that, are all the gifts of the Spirit just tongues? No, he has told you already, there are diversities of operations, there are differences of manifestation, there are diversities of operations, there are differences of ministration or administration. Are we together? So all we refer to the diversities or ministry gifts or the operations. Yeah, so are all the ministry gifts apostles? Let me say better. Yeah, all the ministry gifts we have is only apostles. No, apostles is a ministry gift. Yeah, pastors, ministry gifts, prophet, ministry gifts. Same way, tongues, things of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. Same way, interpretation, gifts of the Spirit. Now, if you take note of verse 28 and 29 and 30, there was something he changed. Yeah, in verse 28, you see helps, you see government, you see diversity of tongues. However, when Paul now got to verse 30, after he said healings, he now goes to tongues and interpretation. So Paul mentions interpretation just after tongues. Remember, two Sundays ago we taught something. We said that what? Paul usually taught tongues and interpretation side by side. Yeah, if you look at verse 28, you only see tongues, then you won't see interpretation. Yeah, but if you look where you actually see interpretation. How do we know? Look at verse 30. When he mentioned tongues, the next thing he says was interpret. Yeah? So, similar like a rhetorical question, like you see, are all? Yeah? It wasn't there, like we said that already. So, he was saying that the whole body or the whole ministry gifts cannot be prophets. The whole ministry gift or the whole gifts of, or the whole ministry, gifts of the Spirit is not the gift of healing. He now did not mention in verse 30, helps and government. Yeah? So, it means that he replaced helps and government and diversity of tongues with tongues and interpret in 30. Please look at it again. In verse 28, he says, miracles, gift of healing. Now, after gift of healing, up until you have gift of healing, we have the same thing repeated in verse 29 to 30. However, after gift of healing, he says, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. After gift of healing in verse 30, what do we have? Tongues, do all speak in tongues, and do all interpret? Are we together? So it means that tongues and interpretation in verse 30 is what he wrote as helps, government, and tongues in verse 28. Yeah? Please look at that again. Please don't lose track. Yeah? In verse 28, it says what? Tongues. Yes. In verse 28, it says helps. In verse 28, it says government. In verse 30, he doesn't say helps. He doesn't say government. He just says tongues. Yeah. However, he says tongues and interpret. So it means that we need to see what he means by helps and government. You know, it's from this verse where you have people that say they are calling to ministry of helps, you know, ministry of helps and also government. Yeah. And, some people say they are called into the governmental bodies, the political body and things like that. A lot of them use 1 Corinthians 12 verse 29, but 28, but really, no. You see, a word only has life amidst its use or in the midst of its use. Yeah. So we cannot just from the blues just come. How can Paul from the blues just be talking about government? Look at it. Nothing else in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 to chapter 16 suggests that Paul teaches about politics. So why would you in your very, 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 very broad mind think that what Paul is teaching about politics when he mentioned government? No, it cannot be. Now let's pay attention to verse 28. The word that helps is the word antilepsis. Yeah, the word that helps is the word antilepsis. It's the Greek word antilepsis. I'll spell that for you. A-N-T-I-L-E-M-P-S-I-S. I'll spell that again for you. Antilepsis. Yes, I'll spell that again for you. A-N-T-I-A-N-T-I-L-E-M-L-E-M-P-S-I-S. Yeah, antilepsis, antilepsis, A-N-T-I-L-E-P-S-I-S. Forgive me, move the N. A-N-T-I-L-E-P-S-I-S. Now, is a word that means to make needs met or to meet needs. Yeah, antilepsis is a word that means to aid or to help, to support, to supply help, or to supply, or to supply, or to allow a need to be met, or to make a need met. Let me allow you to write that. The word that helps in verse 28 is the single word antilepsis. It means to meet needs. Yeah? Now, the word that government is the word kubernesis. I'll spell that again for us. The word that government is kubernesis. K-U-B-E-R-N-E-S-I-S. Yeah? K-U-B-E-R-N-E-S-I-S. So, the word there helps is antilepsis. The word there government is kubernesis. Yeah, the word there helps is the word antilepsis that means to meet needs or to meet or to supply needs or supply aid to make a need to be met. Yeah, the word there government, kubernesis, is a word that means to guide other or to guide something or to govern something. How to get that? So, if you look at it, what did you replace with helps and government in verse 30? Interpret. So it means that to meet need, it means that help and government is something that is supplied to tongues. Or is something that flows. Now remember, we said that Paul taught tongues and interpretation side by side. You see that explicitly, you know, spelled out in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yeah? So Paul now says what? He says what? The gifts of healing, he now says helps government. Helps is what? Antilepsis, government is what? Kubernesis. What is health? It means to meet needs. What is kubernesis? Government. To govern or to guide through or to guide something. So, it means that, so the same way, he said the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, quickly. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse 2. For he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto the minds of men, but unto God, for no man understandeth it. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh what? Mysteries. The word there, mystery, is the word mysterion, that which is to be explained. Yeah? So it means that when tongues is spoken, it needs an explanation or an interpretation so that the mind is profitable or the mind has profit from it. Please follow attentively, right? Look at verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I speak to you either by revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or by doctrine. Right? Look at verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. Look at verse 12, rather. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spirituals, Seek that ye may excel in edifying the church. Now, what is edifying the church? It means bringing or building up the church. That's the Greek word oikodumio. Yeah, it means to strengthen or to build up. Yeah, so you strengthen or build up the church by communicating with their mind or on the level of their minds. That's where interpretation of tongues comes in. Yeah, look at verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in tongues pray he the interpretation, or pray in such a way, or pray that he interprets. Yeah, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is without helps and governments. You see what I just did there? Now, remember, helps means to meet needs. Government means to what? To govern or to guide. So, what did he replace helps and governments with in verse 30? It is what? Interprets. So, interpretation is a way by which you help and guide your tongue so that you bring edification to the church. Yeah? Tongue on its own cannot be for the benefit of someone else. Why? Because he told you in verse 2 of chapter 14, when you speak in tongues, yeah, your mind is unfruitful. Others around you are not edified. Look at verse 4 again. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 3. 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. It says, he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Yeah, what does that really mean? A good way to read verse 3 will be that he that prophesies supplies helps and governments to the church. What is helps? To help the needs or to meet the needs. Yeah, what is government? To govern it. So it means that tongues interpretation is tongues and helps and governments. Tongues in and out of itself does not benefit someone else or the second party or even your mind. So that's why you see interpretation is always after tongues. So interpretation is the administrator and the guide of tongues in order to meet the needs of others. I'll show you. I'll say that again. The reason you see that replacement in verse 30 is Paul is teaching that interpretation of tongues is the administrator and the guide of tongues. Yeah, interpretation of tongues guides the tongues or guides that which is spoken in tongues in order for it to meet the needs of others. That's what you see in chapter 14. He now shows us how we meet the needs of others. Yeah, when you come together, every one of you had a psalm, every one of you had a tongue, an interpretation, and things like that. Yeah, it is in your interpretation that you bring edification, which is what he taught as prophecy in chapter 14. So, he that prophesied speaketh not unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So, what administers tongues to make it fruitful to the minds of men is what? The interpretation. So interpretation is a way by which we guide and administer our tongues in order to meet the needs of others. Let me say better. Interpretation of tongues is the administrator and the guide of our tongue in order to supply helps. Yeah? Supply the needs or to meet the needs of others amongst the church, or to supply edification, exhortation, and comfort. So tongues is your own communication with God. When your mind is looking for interpretation, it doesn't need it. Yeah? Your mind is what looks for the interpretation. Yeah? So as you are talking in tongues, you know what you are saying in tongues. Not you will know after. You see, look at it. You interpret what you, or you interpret from what you know. Yeah? What you see as what you call interpretation is after that which you have said, or after you have said what you said. So look at it. You don't just wake up one morning and just say, I'm going out today. What do I mean? Hey, you've already said, I'm going out today. The reason you could say, I'm going out today is because that statement or that phrase came from a faculty that is already in you. Yeah? So it doesn't need interpretation. You don't need the interpretation of that because you said it. You said it. So that's why I will say something. It's to the extent of a man's knowledge in a language, yeah, that he brings interpretation excellently. Are we together? I'll say that again. I said that helps and government in verse 28 is what Paul replaced with as what interprets in verse 30. We said what? Helps and government in interpretation in verse 30. And we said interpretation is what? The administrator and the guide of tongues in order to meet the needs of what? Others. So we need to pay attention to what Paul is really teaching in 1 Corinthians 12. We need to pay attention to how he used imagery, using a body to speak about different gifts or manifestation of the Spirit. Yeah? Now, see what he says in verse 13. Look at chapter 13, rather. Chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angel, yeah, and have not charity, yeah, yeah, and becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What is he saying? Look at verse 31. Look at verse 31 again. First chapter 8, chapter 12, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Remember, the Bible was written in chapters and verses, so it means that you ideally read chapter 12 into chapter 13. So let's read that now. But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues, so what is it trying to teach? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, charity there is what love, I am what? Become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Yeah, what is he teaching? Love is the foundation for the expression of the supernatural. Look at, he already told you about how there are different members of one body, that same body, and there are different manifestations of that same spirit. He now tells you that what? If I speak or if I flow in any of the gifts of the spirit, not having love as my foundation, yeah, and become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Look at verse 2. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries, I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profited me nothing. What is Paul teaching? Paul is making a comparison between charity with the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit without charity. Let me say better. Paul is making a comparison or showing you a comparison between the gifts of the Spirit mixed together with love, that is charity, and the gifts of the Spirit without charity. Without charity. That's why first he mentions the gift without love. Yeah, he now keeps that conversation in chapter 13. Yeah, so look at it. Make it clear. Chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, speaks about the gifts of the Spirit with love and without love. He now keeps that line of conversation after showing you the diversities of the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12. The different members, one body. Yeah. So it means that there's a more excellent way. Yeah, there's a better way to allow the things of the Spirit flow. Now, the best way to allow the things of the Spirit flow by which Paul is teaching is that love is it, or it is through love. So it is by love that we experience the maximum flow, yeah, of the things of the Spirit. Please follow attentively. Yeah? Please follow attentively, right? Look at verse 4. Let me take my speed down a little. Look at verse 4. Charity suffereth long. That's love. Yeah? And is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not our own. Is not easily provoked, thinking no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, there shall fail. What is he saying? Love should be the foundation. Paul is discussing an excellent way in the ministration of the gifts of the Spirit. So there are two ways the gifts of the Spirit are being ministered. You can either minister it with love as the foundation or without love. Paul says that if you minister the things of the Spirit without love as the foundation, you'll be like a sounding cymbal or a tinkling cymbal or a sounding brass. Yeah? So he now tells you the characteristics of love. Verse 8, love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Hello, hold on. Let me ask a question. How can Paul, after praying and asking that we pray for knowledge, that our eyes of understanding may be enlightened, how can he pray that we should? So look at it. If Paul says we know in part, and it means that a believer knows knowledge in part, and Paul himself knows in part, it means that there's no point praying our eyes of understanding is enlightened, because it means that there is no end goal, or it means that that prayer can never be answered.
Yeah? How can Paul, after praying for epignosis, knowledge, now concern and limit himself? You know, the same thing we taught in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 10, when he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Yeah? And we saw that Paul wasn't praying at that point. Yeah? After Paul had gone through what he had got, he wasn't saying, I want to know God. No. You should lay your hands on that teaching. I think it's on Investigative Scriptures series 2, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah? So, Paul has already told us, how can Paul subject the church to partial insight? We know in part. No. That is not the point. We are called to know the gospel and know it well. Look at Ephesians 3. Hold your hands in 1 Corinthians. Go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 4. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read from verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, what? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by his spirit. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 2 tells you, I had not seen, ear has not heard, but we have received of the spirit. Now we are to freely know that thing, the things of the spirit. So go back to 1 Corinthians 13, yeah? Let's do justice to this verse quickly. Let me say this. You see, when the scriptures were being interpreted, when you mean translated, yeah, a lot of pronouns were added and imputed in several places by the author. Are we together? Yeah? Now, remember, from verse 1, Paul already told us, oh, he was speaking about himself. Though I speak with tongues. Verse 2, and though I have all faith, I could remove, I am nothing. I bestowed all my... So, Paul has been given that narrative of I as the pronoun of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So, we need to maintain that pronoun in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So, a good way to read verse 9 is that, for I know in part, and I prophesy in part. Hold on. Don't be too fast to jump into a conclusion. So, if you need to speak, or Paul is speaking about two aspects or two phases of his life, how do we know? Look at it. If you look at verse 9, it's only in verse 9 you see we. If you look at verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now look at verse 11 carefully. When I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. So, he didn't say we. Look at it. Verse 9 says, we know in part. Yeah? We prophesy in part. So, so from verse 1 to verse 13, the only verse where you see we instead of I is in verse 9. When you get to verse 11, he says what? I was a child. I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I became a man. I put away childish things. Now, follow attentively. Look at verse 12. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest is what? Love. Remember from verse 1, never forget this. I've been saying from the beginning that Paul has been teaching the two ways the things of the Spirit are or possibly manifested. There's the manifestation of the Spirit with the love as foundation and without love as the foundation. So, a good way to read verse 9 will be that this knowing is in part. This prophesying is in part. What is the in part about? It is in part because it is without love. Remember from chapter 12, verse 31, covet earnestly the best, and yet show I unto you more excellent way. So, this will be in reference to the gifts of the Spirit he is talking about from chapter 12. So, with and without love is about the path that Paul spoke about in verse 9. So, knowing and prophesying without love is not the full package. That's what Paul is teaching. So, if you know by the Spirit, you see things by the Spirit, and you speak in tongues, yeah, by the Spirit, yeah, and you don't have love, then you are not expressing the full package. Why? Because it says what? Love is the greatest in verse 13. Love is the greatest. The greatest of this is charity. Now, let's pay attention to that verse again. The word there, part, in verse 9, is the word meros. M-E-R-O-S. The word there, part, is the word meros. M-E-R-O-S. Please don't lose that on me here. It's a word that means a part of a whole. Or a portion of a whole. Yeah, M-E-R-O-S, a part of a whole or a portion of a whole. So what will be a part of a whole? A part of a whole is going to be what? The flow of the Spirit without love. What will be the full package? It will be the flow of the Spirit with love. Did you see that? Yeah, so we know in part, hold on, yeah? This knowing is in part. Remember, I corrected that. What is the part there? A part of a whole. So without love, yeah, what is done without love is going to be seen as a part of a whole. What is done in love is going to be seen as a complete package. Look at verse 8 again. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So, it says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. So there's a failing and a ceasing in verse 8. It will be because they are done in parts. That is, because they are done outside of love. Look at, it tells you first of all in verse 8, love never fails. So the only reason why you will see prophecy fail and tongues ceasing is because they are done out of the full package or without being a full package. That is without love. Look at it again. Please don't lose track. Don't lose track. So when you mix it with love, he already told you in verse chapter 8, charity never faileth. That's love never fails. But whether the prophecies, they shall fail. He's not saying one day prophecy he's not saying tongues will just cease. No. The context of every scripture is determined in the scriptures from the scriptures. The same way we explain helps and government. It's not saying ministry of helps, yeah? You know, people say the ministry God called them is to be serving wine or serving chigita for the pastor. No. Or to direct people to where they should sit. That's help. No. Paul taught helps and government as an administrator or a guide to help show or make that the needs of the saints are met by the things or the gifts of the Spirit. So when he says cease in verse 8 and fail in verse 8, yeah, what is he really saying? He's speaking of that which is done without love. So no envy, no pride tolerated, no selfishness is tolerated when you are giving the flow or giving to the things of the Spirit. So we don't believe the worst of people when we are giving expression to the things of the Spirit. What do? We believe the best. We believe he already told you what love does. He says love suffers long in verse 4. Love is kind. Love does not envy. So the moment you begin to envy, yet you want to flow in the things of the Spirit, you are giving expression to the things of the Spirit already in you, but it is not in a full package. What makes it full package? Love. The word there fail in verse 8. Look at it again. Charity doesn't fail. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. The word there fail is the word ekipto. Yeah, it's the word A-E-K-P-I-P-T-O. Ekipto. Fail is the word ekipto. That is the word that means to become powerless or ineffective. To become powerless or ineffective. If you check verse 1 again, go back to verse 1 quickly. Look at verse 1 quickly. Verse 1 tells you, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass and or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand everything, I am nothing. It tells you I am nothing. That means all of those things are what? Fruitless, or they are powerless. Yeah? Or they are what? Ineffective. So to fail and to cease in verse 8 refers to what happens to the gifts without love. It's not saying the gifts of the Spirit will stop one day or it will cease one day. No, to fail and to cease in verse 8 is describing the ineffectiveness or the contrast of what charity does as against what charity or as against what will happen without charity. Please, let me take this step at a time, okay? Yeah? So, failing and ceasing is an expression that describes that which will happen. So, it means that even though you fail, even though you operate in things of the Spirit, without love, with envy in your heart, without being kind, yeah, not bearing, not forbearing, not long-suffering, not having long-suffering, yeah, it means that there is still a better way to that which you already done. Yeah? That is what makes it a full package. It is what the things of the Spirit. So, the failing and the ceasing in verse 8 is to describe the ineffectiveness, yes, or the contrast between the flow of the Spirit with love and the flow of the Spirit without love. Yeah, we said the word fail is what? Ekipto. That is what? To be what? Powerless. To be powerless. To be powerless. Hallelujah. Now, what did he explain it as in verse 1, 2, 3? He explained it as sounding brass or tinkling what? Cymbals. What is he saying? Remember in let me open that quickly. Remember in verse 1, he says, though I speak with tongues and I have no charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So what is tinkling cymbal? In verse 1 and I am nothing in verse 2 is what he calls as fail and cease. That is ineffective. They are nothing. Yeah? Yeah? They profit nothing. In as much as you can see it as the flow of the Spirit, love must be the foundation. Love must be the foundation. Love must be the foundation. Now, what he now says in verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come. The word there perfect means complete or something that is mature. Yeah, the word there perfect is a contrast word for the word fail, or the word meros rather, the word meros we saw in parts in verse 9. So the word parts in verse 9, for we know in parts, we prophesy in parts, meros is a contrast word for the word complete or perfect in verse 10. Is that verse 10 now? Yes, verse 10. You can really say opposite so to say. Yeah, so perfect means complete, something that is mature. It's a contrast. So, look at it. That word there, part in verse 9, is the word meros. And we said it is a word that means what? A part of a whole. So when you say a part of a whole, can we say it is incomplete? Yes, we can say that. We can say that. So it means that for we know in part is, we prophesy a part rather, we know in part, prophesy a part, is talking about a part of a whole. But there is something that is perfect in verse 10, which speaks of the whole meal. Yeah? So perfect is complete or matured. And we said that that's a contrast of incomplete. So verse 9 shows incompleteness, verse 10 shows there's a completeness. So Paul uses analogy of physical development in the first person. So what is he narrating? He's narrating what? Complete flow of the Spirit and incomplete flow of the Spirit. What is incomplete flow of the Spirit? It is when you yet flow in the things of the Spirit, but love is not the foundation. What is the complete package? When you flow in the things of the Spirit and love is the foundation. Look at verse 11. He now says, when I was a child. So it means that the state of childishness, yeah, so to say, is state of being a child, affected how we spoke, how we understood, and how we thought. So when I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Yeah? I put away. So it means that Paul, at the face of his life, put away childish things. He didn't stop speaking. He didn't stop understanding, or he didn't stop thinking. What changed was how. So if you notice very well, it was Paul that did the deliberate effort of putting away. Why? Because the perfect comes, that which is complete. So when we choose to put away, what did he put away? He put away strife. Right? He put away that which is not full of long suffering. He put away those things that are not found in love. So what is Paul teaching? He's teaching that what? The things of the Spirit are inconsistent, or things of the Spirit rather, are more effective in love, or with love being the foundation. Are we together? When he chose to put away, what was he putting away? Strife, envy, the things that are not consistent with love. But now when the complete has come, the perfect has come, he is more effective with the things of the Spirit.
So verse 11 now says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. Yeah, Paul is really teaching from Moses. Numbers chapter 12, verse 8. So, if you look at that context very well, 1 Corinthians 13, yeah, Paul is teaching about two different phases of his life. Then Paul uses a variation of Moses to explain charity of communication, or charity that is found in communication. Yeah, charity that is found in the gifts, or in charity that is of, or charity that should be the foundation of the communication of the things of the Spirit. That's why he now tells you in verse 13, love and now abided faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest is what? Love. Yeah? Because in love is all encompassing. He now says in verse 14, now what you call chapter 14 verse 1 should ideally be what we end chapter 13. Because he says, now abided faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Follow after love and desire spirituals, but rather that ye may prophesy. What is he teaching? Love is a more excellent way. So be earnest with love. Yeah, and desire the spiritual, the things of the Spirit. With this, we will serve our brethren well. We will serve our people as we ought to. Their needs are met. Now, we supply health and government. Their needs are met. God is glorified. When love is the foundation of an expression, or love is the foundation of the expression of the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah, so Paul now says in chapter 14, follow after charity and desire spirituals, rather than you may prophesy, much more than you may prophesy, that's what rather, my Lord, yeah, to the degree or to the extent or to the end that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth it, how be it in the spirit, speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth, speaketh not unto men for edification, exhortation, and comfort. So, how and why, or how do you bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the saints? It is by love being the foundation of that. So, what was Paul teaching in 1 Corinthians 13? He wasn't saying that all this doctrine we know. No. Look at Ephesians 4. The same Paul. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, verse 9. Ephesians 4, 9. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, and he might fill all things, the believers, the church. He now says verse 11, and he gave some apostles, prophets, those are ministry gifts. Yeah, the word there, some we said is word certainly, truly, indeed. He gave indeed, truly, apostles, prophets, yeah, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Look at it. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of what? Doctrine. Yeah, but speaking in truth that is found in love. We may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual workings in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, dear saints, Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 13, using himself as an example of two stages of his life. When he was a child, and when he had to put away childishness. Childishness? What does it mean by putting away childishness? It means he put away strife. He put away envy. He put away things that are not consistent with love of God. Then by doing that, by default, yeah, you take away, you say, so in verse 3, when it says, in verse 2, when it says, I am nothing, yeah, in the previous verses, in verse 11 rather, verse 10, 11, 12, you now see that love makes you something, or makes that which you flow in to be more effective. Yeah? That's why you think about it this way. I'll round up here. So you see that a lot of people, before you can flow in the things of the Spirit, especially healing, for instance, yeah, you must be one who is full of compassion and love. Yeah, you must be one who is full of love and compassion. Yeah, you must be one who is not given to strife, not given to hatred, not given to things that are not consistent with the love of God. Like I told you, yeah, love suffereth long. That means in love there's long suffering. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Yeah, he's not puffed up. He does not behave itself unseemly. He seeketh not his own. He's not easily provoked. He thinketh no evil about others. He rejoiceth not in the iniquity of others, or in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. He beareth all things, believeth in all things, hopeth in all things, endureth in all things. Love never fails. Hallelujah. Love will never fail. Love never fails. Love doesn't fail. Love never fails. So as saints, we are to mix all our flawed things of the Spirit with love as the foundation. Hallelujah. Praise be God. I'm going to pay attention to these, you know, few verses in days to come. Mama, just give us an introduction to this, 1 Corinthians 13. You know, I knew I had mentioned to one of our teachers in the past few weeks about, you know, we know in parts and we prophesy in parts, yeah? What is knowing in part, prophesying in part? It is all flowing in things of the Spirit without having it in a complete package of what? Love being the foundation. Yeah, we'll pay more attention to these things in days to come. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word. I hope you've learned a few things here today. Jesus is glorified. Remain joyful, stay joyful. I love you all.